Hey, it's good to see you. Thanks for being here. Today we talk about the Last Supper, when Jesus institutes the Eucharist. This is Meditation 137 from Divine Intimacy from Father Gabriel. So Father Gabriel tells us that as Jesus goes into this Last Supper, he has three things in his mind. He knows that Judas has negotiated the sale of him for 30 pieces of silver. He knows that Peter is going to follow at a distance and deny that he even knows him. And he knows that the apostles who recline at the table with him all will abandon him. And it is in this context that he gives himself to them through the Holy Eucharist. Father Gabriel writes, "The institution of the Eucharist appeared then as the answer of Jesus to the treachery of men, as the greatest gift of his infinite love in return for the blackest ingratitude." I find this context so ironic. Jesus gives of himself to them through the Holy Eucharist. As you know, the teaching of the church is that that is Jesus, his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So he gives himself to the apostles in such an intimate way through the Holy Eucharist, yet in such a public way, they run from him. Jesus gives himself to them, and they run from him. "O you who are mad about your creatures," exclaims St. Catherine of Siena, "true God and true man, you have left yourself wholly to us as food, so that we will not fall through weariness during our pilgrimage in this life, but will be fortified by you, celestial nourishment." Here's a question for you. Do you want to grow in holiness? Do you want to be in union with Jesus? And if your answer is yes, ask this question. What did the holy men and women do in their life that allowed them to be holy in union with Jesus? Examine their life and say, well, what did they do? And then say, well, maybe I can do some of the same things. Now, not all of this is transferable. For example, some of them were cloistered, and you can't be cloistered if you're married and have children, or you shouldn't be. But one thing is that you'll never find a holy man or a holy woman, a saint, that will say, you know what, you don't have to receive the Eucharist in order to grow in union with Jesus. Those saints don't exist. See, here's the point. Holiness leaves clues. And this is a big clue from the saints. They had devotion to the Eucharist because the Eucharist was Jesus, is Jesus. From the Eucharist, we draw nourishment and strength to travel on this pilgrimage in this world, to glorify God with our life. Now, if the holy men and women before us have done that, then perhaps, do you think, maybe we should do the same? And on the night that Jesus gave the Eucharist to the apostles, what did he do? He washed their feet. It's the night that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords bent his knee before the ones he created. And as he's working himself around the room, washing all these feet, I imagine him thinking about the last 3 years and the memories that he shared with each individual apostle. Perhaps he's with John. "I love this man. I love these feet. These feet have seen me transformed in my glory." Maybe he gets to Peter's feet. "I love this man. I love these feet. These feet have done something else that no other feet have done. They've walked on water." And it wasn't a Saskatchewan winter. And maybe he gets to the next man. "I love this man. I love these feet. For 3 years, these feet have been with me. They've multiplied the loaves to fed thousands of people. They were there when Lazarus was raised from the dead. I've entrusted this man in a special way with something important regarding our community." And then he looks up into the eyes of Judas and thinks, "I love this man, I love these feet. And soon, these feet will run out of here clean and deny me for 30 pieces of silver. I love this man, I love these feet." And what Jesus did was so important to his message is that he stood up and then he said this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Father Gabriel writes, Jesus revealed to us the perfection of fraternal charity on the same evening that he instituted the Eucharist, as if to indicate that such perfection should be both the fruit of the sacrament of the Eucharist and our response to this great gift. So the Eucharist should cause two things within us. Number one, it should cause us to grow in love, grow in charity. And number two, it should cause us to love other people in response to the gift that we have received. So number one, strengthen. How can we love other people unless love has been put inside of us? So we receive the Eucharist to be strengthened in charity, to receive love so that we have a love that is worth giving away. Which leads us to the second response. Because of this great love, this great gift that we receive, Jesus, it should motivate us to give him away. I'm reminded of a story about Mother Teresa. Each morning, her sisters go and celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And they receive Jesus. They receive love. And on their way out of the chapel, she would tell them, let the people eat you up. Let the people eat you up. Mother Teresa was communicating this profound understanding that we should become what we have just received. As Jesus is our food, our strength, now we become the food for other people. We give ourselves away to become strength for them through acts of charity. Let the people eat you up. Be Jesus for them. Friends, on this Holy Thursday, I wish to thank you for watching. Share with me below what stood out to you and why, and I'll see you tomorrow.